your mistress or your mother, but I am here with you as you rise. Tune into The Attitude with Arnie Arneson, policy and politics through the lens of life.
Tune into The Attitude with Arnie Arneson, weekday mornings at 5 on KPFT.
Hi, this is Clint Broussard from Blues and Hi-Fi, and you are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices. This week, Deborah Moncrief Bell has a conversation with Julie Rosenzweig about an event this month at Pearl Bar, put on by the Curve Foundation. It's both a remembrance of the magazine Curve, also known as De Neuve magazine, and an effort to build an archive of the publication.
The event is Collect and Connect Curve Magazine Archive Celebration. It will be at Pearl Bar in Houston, Texas on October 13th, which is a Sunday. It will start at 3 and end at 8. Please, please, please bring all of your Curve and De Neuve magazines.
We have Brett Cullum's community calendar of events for October. Brian Levinka talks with the folks from Katie Pride about that event coming up this month.
The event will be held at First Christian Church Katie, which is 22101 Morton Ranch Road. They are our title sponsor, so they're allowing us to use their property, which is great. The event is from 11 a.m. till 4 p.m., and there will be vendors. We have DJ Crazy V spinning for us that day.
Deborah has a conversation with the executive director of Tony's Place about their first ever LGBTQ+ homecoming dance on October 11th.
We are hosting a LGBTQ homecoming dance for youth aged 14 to 20 on October 11th, which is National Coming Out Day. It is from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn.
And we have news wrap from This Way Out. Queer Voices starts now.
There's a special event coming up at Pearl Bar very soon, and with me today to talk about it is
Julia Rosenzweig.
And Julia, you have a whole bunch of letters by your name. You're the Archive and Outreach Manager of the Curve Foundation. So explain to me what those letters mean and what the Curve Foundation is.
The letters next to my name are MSLIS. So I have a Master of Science in Library and Information Science from Pratt Institute. And I am the Archive and Outreach Manager at the Curve Foundation. So what I do is make sure that our archive of 30 years of lesbian magazine Curve Mag are free and accessible to anybody who wants to read them. And then I also do some programming. So I provide book clubs, film clubs, archive show and tells, interview events with our founder, Franco Stevens, just to name a few. And that's pretty much a summary of what my role is at the Curve Foundation.
This event that's happening on October 13 at Pearl Bar is called Collect and Connect Curve Magazine Archive Celebration. So what exactly is that about?
This event is really exciting. It is essentially an event celebrating our community members with an afternoon of festivities, storytelling, connection. We're asking folks to bring their Curve and De Neuve magazines to Pearl Bar. We'll give out some free Curve swag. We're also collecting oral histories from the community at the bar. And then all of those materials will be donated to the University of Houston Library Special Collections as a part of their LGBTQ+ history research collections. So essentially, we're starting a Curve magazine archival collection in South Texas. And that's not all that's going to happen at the event. There will also be a drag king performance. There's going to be lesbian trivia. There's going to be barbecue from Sloane Rinaldi of the Netflix series Barbecue Showdown. She's a fourth generation Houston pitmaster. So that's really exciting. And then the last thing that's going to happen is an exhibit from the LGBTQ+ history research collection that will show some archival lesbian publications from their collection at the university. It's going to include some issues of Curve and De Neuve magazines, and attendees will be able to engage with this archival material.
So let's talk about the magazine a little bit. It did start off with the name Deneuve in homage to the wonderful French actress Catherine Deneuve, but there were some issues that the use of that name, and so it got changed to Curve. Why Curve?
Curve, I believe, was the name that was settled on because it describes the curve of a woman's body. It's not straight, it's curved. I think it was a bit of a tongue-in-cheek type of title change. And then, as far as Deneuve goes, the story that Franco Stevens, the founder of the magazine, tells is that Deneuve was actually maybe the name of a crush of hers, and that it was not at all named after Catherine Deneuve. So Catherine Deneuve tried to sue the magazine, I believe successfully. It was under the impression that they were using her name when that was in fact not even the truth.
Interesting. I remember when it started, and it's hard to believe that it's been 30 years. You're California based. How is it that you've ended up having this event here in Houston, Texas?
We are California-based. However, we offer our services and programs in the magazine to everyone in the country, if not the world. And we were lucky enough to get support for this event from Airbnb, the AKR Foundation, which is based in Texas, the Greater Houston LGBTQ Plus Chamber of Commerce, Pearl Bar, of course, Texas Q, and University of Houston. So since we had all of these wonderful partners, it made sense to have this event in South Texas.
And so you're imagining that there are people in Houston, women in Houston, who have collected the magazine over the years and that they are going to want to be at this event to share stories and to talk about the impact of the magazine on their lives. What other things do you anticipate from this?
Well, I anticipate it to be a event where the community can gather and connect with one another. So it's not just that we want folks to give their magazines to us, which, please, folks, if you're coming to the event, please give us all your Curve and Deneuve magazines. We will give you things in return. But it's more than that. So in this digital era, there's so much loneliness, and I think, in addition to collecting magazines, it's really important for me personally, and also for the Curve Foundation as an org, to help bridge gaps between people and bring people together and celebrate our cultures. So, really, I'm hoping that this event is a celebration of our cultures, as well as a chance to collect magazines and stories from people. And if you can't make it to the event itself, I would like to put out a call for donations because we really need our community support at this time.
The Collect and Connect Curve Magazine Archive Celebration. You can sign up through Eventbrite for tickets. It is free. It starts at 3 p.m. It's a Sunday afternoon event at Pearl Bar. Julia, have you ever been to Houston?
I have been to Houston for a really gay reason. I went there with my roller derby team for a derby tournament.
Tell me about your experiences with that. How did you get involved?
I got home to Los Angeles after college and remembered that roller derby was a thing. I started skating when I was 23, which is crazy to say. And I just never stopped. And it's also coincided with me coming out and, coming to terms with my own sexuality as a queer person. And it was a really, really lovely place to come out. It's a wonderful environment, so LGBTQ friendly. And I am still involved, and I'm so proud to be a Los Angeles Derby doll. So I'm excited to be able to talk about it on this radio show too.
I was a skater as a kid, but I can't imagine doing that.
Well, it's a really wonderful sport because any shape and size and most abilities can skate, and you offer different things depending on what you are and who you are. So I'm small, so I can't do a lot of strength things. However, I'm very fast and I can get around people. So I bring my own strengths, so just as somebody who is larger could bring their own strengths as well.
Well, I really appreciate you talking with us on Queer Voices about the Curve Foundation. Why did they form a foundation?
They formed a foundation in 2021. The magazine itself was in print still in 2019, and it was unfortunately going under. So the founder, Franco Stevens, bought back the magazine that she had sold off, I think, about 10 years prior. She bought the magazine, and in order to keep the legacy of the magazine alive, she started the Curve Foundation and donated the entire Curve archive to the foundation so that the legacy of Curve Magazine and lesbian representation and stories could live on. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with this event.
It's very exciting that it's going to be housed at the UH libraries as part of the LGBTQ history research collection. They're doing a really great job over there, and we appreciate that we have that here in Houston. We have a number of history buffs involved, and of course, we love the librarians.
Absolutely.
Well, the librarians are the saviors of the world, in my opinion. So again, thank you for being with us on Queer Voices, and tell us once again what the event is and where it is.
The event is Collect and Connect Curve Magazine Archive Celebration. It will be at Pearl Bar in Houston, Texas on October 13th, which is a Sunday. It will start at 3 and end at 8. Please, please, please bring all of your Curve and Denouve magazines, and we will provide you with festivities and food and all that you can think of. And thank you so much for giving me a platform to talk about this event. I really appreciate it.
This is Deborah Moncrief Bell, and you've been listening to Queer Voices.
Coming up on Queer Voices, Brett's community calendar of events. The Katy Pride event later this month. Tony's Place is having their first ever LGBTQ+ homecoming dance on October 11th. And we have news wrap.
This radio program, Queer Voices, has existed since the 1970s on KPFT. We have this little crew of folks working every week to produce what's no longer unique because we're almost mainstream now, but we're still an important voice that might not otherwise get heard because it's not on that many places. So KPFT is very important to give voices to those who might not otherwise have voices. So, as Glenn always says, you participate by listening. You should also participate by supporting the station. So please go to kpft.org and make your donation right away.
This is Brett Cullum, and here's your community calendar for the end of September and early October. On October 10th, the Alley Theater is going to have their Act Out night for Noises Off. This is a three-act British farce. It's a very funny. It's about a play that goes terribly, terribly wrong. Things fly around the stage, people fall down stairs, sardines get thrown around. It's amazing. The show actually opens on September 27th, but the Act Out night, which includes cocktails and food before the show, will happen on October 10th. So that is your calendar for the end of September, early October. Hope you have a great one, and I'll be seeing you very soon.
This is Brian Levinka, and today on Queer Voices, we're talking with Amanda Rose, president of Katy Pride. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Katy Pride, this is your second year. Tell me, how did the first year go, and what do you have changes for the second year?
We're excited. October 19th is our second Katy Pride celebration, and the first year was fabulous. We had over 2,000 people attend, over 80 vendors, numerous sponsors, great response from the community and support. And that really propelled Katy Pride for this past year. So for 2024, really being intentional about doing something monthly in the community, whether that was coffee meetups, social events, advocacy work, just different things because of the response we had at our first Katy Pride celebration. And so coming up this year in October, I believe we'll have almost 100 vendors. The last count that I heard, we still have a week or so left to get vendors in there, but we'll have over 100 vendors. We will have two drag performers, a drag queen and a drag king, that'll perform about midday. We'll do some drag story hour. We have a great kid zone. We'll have the section of the Gilbert Baker flag again, but we also are going to have a really neat display of educational displays of LGBTQ history. So that's how we've added. We've really expanded what we are doing because the response was there and the desire from the community.
Let's back up. How did this all get started and what was kind of the idea behind Katy Pride?
Back in 2022, First Christian Church Katy, which is the only LGBTQ open and affirming church in Katy, they held their first drag bingo, and that brought 500 protesters. I like to say sometimes your closest friends, the things you don't ever want to see, but their event still went on and I was involved in those events. And it was really that was the catalyst to say, there needs to be more done in the Katy community. FCC Katy was already doing great work supporting the LGBT community in Katy, but a bunch of us were like, we need more. We need to have Katy Pride. Really out of the work they were doing and that horrible response that community members came out really from all over the state to protest and all their events went on without a hitch. That's how really Katy Pride was birthed. So June of 23, so this past June, we just celebrated our first birthday because to me, birthdays are more fun than anniversaries. But that's really how it got started because there was a desire, there was a need, and we just kind of put some feelers out in the community and people were like, yes, we need this, we want this. There is a queer community in Katy and we don't want to necessarily have to go into town to experience and have celebrations and support and you know, be supportive. And so that's really all how it started.
What have you learned in this process?
There are plenty of supportive individuals and businesses in the Katy community. You just have to find them because Katy being historically more conservative, we heard a lot of stories of people being like, I know I'm not the only queer person in my neighborhood, but people don't want to put a rainbow flag out or they're afraid to speak up. And this is so refreshing to see that this is here. We've met all different types of people, age of people, parents that want to be involved because they have a child that identifies as part of the queer community. So it's really taught us that for me, it's that the saying, if you build it, they will come. And so we built Katy Pride and people are definitely coming and supportive and it's getting larger.
Can you talk about the event itself, what people can expect that haven't attended?
The event will be held at First Christian Church Katy, which is 22101 Morton Ranch Road. They are our title sponsor, so they're allowing us to use their property, which is great. The event is from 11 a.m. till 4 p.m., and there will be vendors. We have DJ Crazy V spinning for us that day. Jay Michaels from 96.5 will come out and do a little bit of emceeing. There will be a fashion show from the Transparent Closet, which is a free clothing boutique for youth and young adults that are exploring their gender, transitioning, just really trying to figure some things out. And that Transparent Closet is actually a outreach ministry, First Christian Church Katy, but they're going to do a small fashion show in the middle of the day. Like I said, we will have two drag performers, a drag queen and a drag king. We'll do some drag story hours. There'll be a kid zone with inflatables, some educational things for them to do, as well as coloring. And really the best part of having our event at First Christian Church Katy is they have a pumpkin patch the entire month of October. So while Katy Pride is going on and there'll be food vendors and there'll be shopping and there'll be education going on and there's stuff for the kids, you also have this really beautiful pumpkin patch that people can walk around, families can walk around, they can take pictures, they can buy a pumpkin, or they don't have to take a pumpkin. It is free to get in. So it's just a really great time for people and community to come together and feel celebrated and feel loved and know that this is a safe space for them. And we want to celebrate them and live.
Is Pride still relevant? And what do you say to people that are the haters of Pride?
For me, that I say the haters of Pride, it's like, then don't come. Like, we all have choices. If you are not, that's not something you're interested in, great, don't come. Like, I respect you to have your opinion, respect me to have mine and live my life the way that I want to, just like I hope you would do as well. So I'm typically not one of those people that is confrontational. I say, that's great. You have a right to that opinion. But I also have a right to my opinion and to celebrate those things that I want to celebrate, just like I hope you as well. So, but I also will say that historically, LGBTQ community is a marginalized community, and they are considered less than right now going on in Katy in the school board. There are attacks on the LGBTQ community, our students, between the gender fluidity policy that passed a year ago that intentionally outs students to their parents the way it is written, to the most recent policy that was passed, which is a book policy, book banning. If there is a book basically that doesn't conform to like cisgender, heterosexual, different families, especially the LGBTQ community, that it can just be removed from the libraries. It does not need to kind of go through the process that has already been slated. So there are some things happening in Katy that even more is like, we need to be here. We are here. We're going to stand up. We're going to be advocates. And we're not going to go away just because there's people who don't think we need pride or those individuals that want to be what I refer to as the haters.
Can you talk about some of your sponsors?
We have Somos Loud. We have Ann Rusi Counseling. We have Comcast is our internet sponsor. We have Evolution Firework. There's also a bunch more that I just can't think of off the top of my head. We have great support from the community, and that's really how this event happens. Every penny that we get between sponsors and vendors goes back into making the celebration happen. Same thing, anything we do throughout the year, if we do any fundraising, all of that money is raised to be able to go put on a celebration for the community that is free of charge. That is very important to us, that our Pride celebration is free.
But if people are looking to volunteer, how can they get involved and what can they do?
If they're looking to volunteer, especially for our Pride celebration, they can just go to katypride.org, or they can follow us on or find us on social media at katypridelgbq, whether that is Facebook or Instagram. And we have our links up there to be able to volunteer. And we are taking volunteers the day before for setup, during the event. And we need all people of all abilities. There's jobs and different things that we need from everyone. Those individuals that are more of those, like, I like more movement and activity, we can give you jobs. And for those people that are like, I can't really do that, like, I'm not in the physical shape or my health, that's great too. We need individuals that are also going to be doing those roles that are more greeting and welcoming and directing people as well. So social media, at KatyPrideLGBQ, and that is on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you just go to our website, katypride.org, I believe on our homepage, everything's about the celebration is up there, and there's a link about volunteer.
Now, I was noticing that there's a kickoff party coming up. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so we will do our kickoff party on Thursday, October 17th at Park Place at the Boardwalk. R.C. Simmons, who owns that venue, is very supportive of Katy Pride. That's where we hosted our first birthday party. And it's really just a time for those that are 18 and up just to come together and really kick off what's going to be a great celebration. It's really to celebrate what we've done in the year and just kind of build the momentum and build the energy for what's coming up on Saturday.
How did y'all end up in an October date?
When Katy Pride, when we said we want to get this started, we reached out to Woodlands Pride and Jason Rocha, because, you know, Woodlands Pride was probably the biggest regional pride that was already in existence, to really learn from them what has gone well, what hasn't gone well, listening to them. But also, it was like, why not October, June? We don't need to compete with the big prides. We don't need to do that, because it's not just about people power when we think of our vendors and our sponsors. Like, let's spread that out. But also, October is LGBTQ History Month. So why not celebrate and have pride in October? Like, it does not just all need to be confined to the month of June. We can celebrate all year long. And I think it makes a lot of sense to do it in October during LGBT History Month.
Plus, it's so freaking hot.
Yes, it is hot in June. And so October is you never know what you're going to get. You could get a beautiful fall day, or it could still be hot, but you have a better probability that it's going to be slightly cooler, which is nice.
Let's cover the details of the event one last time before we go. It is October 19th from 11 to 4 at the First Christian Church of Katy. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
And the website is katypride.org. Is that right?
Yes, katypride.org. And our social media handles is katypridelgbq, and that is on Instagram and Facebook.
If people want to contact you or get more information about the festival, what can they do?
They can reach out on social media and send us a direct message. We have a contact us form on our website, or they could always email at info@katiepride.org. That works well. So whatever suits their fancy, if they're more of an emailer, send us a message at info@katiepride.org. If they utilize social media, definitely direct message us on Facebook or Instagram, or you could go look at the website, learn more about all of the different things we do. You know, we do our Pride celebration, but all of the other work that we are doing in the community to celebrate and uplift the queer community in Katy. And there is a contact form on our website that people could submit as well.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you again for the opportunity, and everyone is welcome. You do not have to live in Katy. This really is truly a great celebration of love and community, which is what we believe Pride should be.
I've been talking to Amanda Rose, the president of Katy Pride. Thank you.
This is Avery Bellew. My pronouns are she and her, and I am the CEO of the Montrose Center, Houston's LGBTQ plus center. And you are listening to Queer Voices, an integral part of Houston's LGBTQ plus community.
This is Deborah Moncrief Bell, and I'm talking with Carrie Ray, the executive director of Tony's Place. Carrie, I understand you're kind of high off a successful fundraiser last night. You want to talk about that?
I'm very excited to share about Tony's Place and the work we have been doing. Yesterday, we had a great fundraiser. Tony's Place was the beneficiary of the EPA event. EPA is the Executive Professionals Association. They chose us earlier this year to be their beneficiary to raise funds to renovate our bathrooms in our center. This is such a great cause. Right now, we currently have one bathroom with a shower, and our clients very much need showers. So we have a drop-in center where LGBTQ youth can come in, get a hot meal, they can get clothing, they can use our showers. And unfortunately, because we only have one shower, it's limited space. So the funds we raised last night are going to help us add two more shower stalls, which will allow more clients to shower every day.
And let's just go back a little bit in the history of what Tony's Place is and why it's called Tony's Place.
In 2015, Tony Carroll, who was a pillar of the LGBTQ community, started with an idea of providing a safe space for homeless gay youth who were being victimized and needed the most basic services to survive. Unfortunately, he passed away suddenly, and his close friends and supporters came together and opened up Tony's Place in 2016 in his honor. We are now in a new location in the Montrose area. We have been here since 2022 in our building, and we are thriving and surviving. And we have many new services that we're offering, including our drop-in center, which is the bread and butter of our organization. But we also have one-on-one case management services. We have a brand new health and wellness team. We have our art series. And we are having an upcoming homecoming dance on October 11th.
Tell me a little bit about that. I think it's part of the National Coming Out Day celebration.
Yeah, we are hosting a LGBTQ homecoming dance for youth aged 14 to 20 on October 11th, which is National Coming Out Day. It is from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn. And this is to celebrate LGBTQ youth. They can be their authentic selves in a safe space where every young person deserves to enjoy. This event is free to attend with an RSVP. It is open to youth, like I said, ages 14 to 20. And attendees will enjoy swag bags from MAC Cosmetics. We will have mums and garters, a photo booth, MAC glam stations, a live DJ, food and drinks. Registration is open on our website at tonysplace.org. Like I said, it is a no-cost event to the youth as long as you register. And I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors for the event, from the It Gets Better Project, MAC, and the Hilton Garden Inn.
It's free to youth, but I'm assuming adults can attend. Is there a charge for them?
So this event is strictly for youth. It's for LGBTQ youth who may not have had the opportunity to go to their own homecoming, or they may not have been able to go to their homecoming and be able to express their outer selves like they wanted to. So we really want to tailor this to youth. However, adults can volunteer at the event. So there are volunteer opportunities if people want to come and sign up through tonysplace.org. We have a great volunteer program.
I was just thinking there probably would be some parents who would bring mm-hmm. their children and yep. kind of be chaperones, just like a regular homecoming. I think that people can also register through Eventbrite.
The registration is online through our website.
And is it limited to those that use the services of Tony's Place?
No, it is open for any youth age 14 to 20. So they don't have to be a current client. They don't have to be currently accessing our services. This event, we're really trying to reach all youth in the greater Houston area.
Have you reached out to Hatch?
We have. And actually, they are a fabulous partner. So thank you to the Montrose Center. The Montrose Center is actually going to be closing their Hatch services that evening and encouraging all of their Hatch youth to attend the homecoming.
Is there any particular entertainment that's being provided?
We do have a fabulous DJ with music. We will have these mums and garters that I talked about. We have these mums and garters that have been, the bases have been already pre-made, but there is a table where youth can add to their mums and garters in their own pride colors. So it's kind of create and invent your, add to your mums and garters however you want. We are going to have makeup stations provided by MAC Cosmetics where youth can get their makeup done. We will have some community partners that will have their tables there to provide services and advertise their services to LGBTQ youth.
I want to go. I need a makeup. Let's talk a little bit about the serious work of Tony's Place. About how many clients do you serve each week?
We are seeing about 20 to 25 clients a day. In August, clients came in 211 times, which is a big increase from the beginning of this year, which was beginning in January, was about 150 times clients came in that month. So it's we've added about 60 services just in the month of August. We are seeing about 10 to 15 new clients per month. And these clients are around the ages of 18 to 20. These new clients that we're seeing, many of them have had experience in the foster care system. Some of them have been justice involved. Many of them are living in shelters currently, or living with friends, or are actually unstably housed.
And that's really the whole thing. You've got, have these vulnerable young people, and they need these services in order to thrive. And I believe you do help them find work.
We have many different services in our center. So one of the things we really pride ourselves on is that in our day center, we partner with about 25 different community service organizations. And those service organizations come into our day center to provide services to our clients. We prefer for clients to meet with service providers in our center so clients feel safe. Our center is a safe space for LGBTQ youth. We prefer not to send clients and say, hey, go to this place where you, they may not know if it's safe for them. They may not know if they're going to be accepted. So providers come to our space. They can have a private location to meet with clients, to help them find work, to help them connect to employment, to help them get IDs. We connect them to housing. We have one-on-one case management services in-house. We have a therapy team that comes once a week to provide services. We connect with domestic violence organizations. And we have our new health and wellness team that is currently providing education and connection to reproductive and sexual health services.
That's marvelous, and it's just so important. And I'm so glad that Tony's Place exists. It is a real tribute to the work of Tony Carroll and the other community members that have taken part. Tony's Place has been designated as a beneficiary of the Pride organizations. There's always the need for funding. It's great that EPA was able to step up and have a good event that provided that, and then now you get to just have a real fun thing for the youth. What happens with the people who age out?
We serve up to and including age 25. When a client is getting close to their 26th birthday, we start working with them and preparing them for graduation about 6 months in advance. This happened yesterday, actually, with a client. So, we were talking about, hey, your birthday's coming up next year. Let's think about what you want to accomplish between now and your birthday, and how can Tony's Place help you achieve those goals and connect you to the resources in the community so that you're successful and that you can transition well. So we really work with clients to have a seamless transition from our services into other services in the community if they need that, so that there's kind of a continuity of care. And also, because we've brought in community partners to our center, clients have made connections already with other community partners and resources. So they have those connections once they age out of our services.
Can you tell me a success story?
Earlier this year, we partnered with the Houston Museum of Natural Science. We partnered with them and they brought their services to our center. So what that looks like is each month they bring in a different topic. So they've brought in a topic like creepy crawlies, and one was poisonous creatures. Another one was dinosaurs. And we hold these groups every day and different kind of interaction groups. And the intention around this was, let's create some healthy education, you know, pique interest with our clients. Maybe they will, you know, develop some different coping strategies. And the ideal goal was that if we bring the museum to clients, maybe clients will go to the museum and start connecting with community outside of Tony's Place. When the museum comes in, I have never seen so many, you know, 20-something youth get so excited about insects. This is just like the most amazing thing. They're all huddled around, handling centipedes, wanting to like look at the different creatures. It's absolutely amazing because they're engaging in things that are really healthy and interesting. And so a success story is we've actually had a couple clients who are now going to the museum on the days that the museum is free. So the museum is free once a week in the evening. And our clients are actually going to the museum, engaging in healthy activities, building community. And that's what we really want. And so to me, that's a really great success story.
Houston is very blessed with the museums that we have and the cultural events. That is wonderful opportunities for growth and maybe interest in furthering education, just so many things like that. I know that you have heartbreaking events take place as well. We are unfortunately still dealing with youth that have been kicked out of their homes because of their queer identity. We have young people that are living on the streets, trying to survive, and being able to go to a place that is safe, where they're cared for, where they can feel love, where they can find these resources. It's just a tremendous thing, and I really hope for the best for the continuing growth of Tony's Place. I know the ideal thing would be for it not to have to exist, but we're so thankful that it does.
We really want to work ourselves out of a job. Right? That's the ideal situation. But the reality is that we are here and we are going to continue to be here to fill that need. And so I just wanted to add that our goal by the end of this year is to expand our reach and enhance our services in two ways. So we plan to open our drop-in center 5 days a week to provide the growing population of youth needing services with more opportunities. And we plan to expand staff. The increasing need is there. Like I said, we've seen an increase in demand for services throughout 2024. So we are expanding our comprehensive services like our health and wellness program. We have our Craft Your Pride art series, and we've just added an LGBTQ book club. So really to achieve this, we thank EPA for their support to help us renovate our building. But we're also looking to raise funds so that we can expand these services by the end of the year.
I'm talking with Carrie Ray, the executive director of Tony's Place, and they have a very special event coming up. Let's just go over the details of that again, Carrie.
October 11th, on National Coming Out Day, we have an LGBTQ homecoming for youth aged 14 to 20. It will be held at the Hilton Garden Inn at 7 p.m. Please RSVP on our website at tonysplace.org. It is a no-cost event to youth, and there's going to be tons of benefits. You're going to get a swag bag, makeup, and DJ, food, drink. It'll be fabulous.
And that Hilton Garden Inn is located over near the medical center, just for a frame of reference. I'm Deborah Moncrief Bell, and this is Queer Voices.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Marcos Najera.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending October 5th, 2024. All 27 European Union member states must recognize a person's legal gender transition secured in any other member state by order of the European Court of Justice. In a landmark October 4th ruling, the EU's highest court wrote, "Gender, like a first name, is a fundamental element of personal identity." Ariane Mizrafi-Ahi holds dual British and Romanian citizenship. His Romanian birth certificate registered him as female. He migrated to Britain in 2020 while it was still an EU member. There, he was able to transition and change his legal gender to male. Under Romanian law, his application to change the gender marker on his birth certificate and government ID was rejected. Every citizen in Romania must be able to provide their government ID for routine things like managing a bank account, picking up mail at a post office, and using public transportation. In the court's view, a divergence between identities resulting from such a refusal of recognition creates difficulties for a person in proving his or her identity in daily life, as well as serious professional, administrative, and private inconvenience. Transgender people can now travel to any EU member state for business or pleasure and have their legal gender respected, even if the national laws of a specific member state like Romania do not. Plaintiff Ariane Mizrafi-Ahi is now a science tutor living in Cambridge. He celebrated by video link with a gathering of his supporters in Bucharest. He said, "I cried, really. It was indeed a victory that we have been waiting for many years."
Georgia's President Salami Zurabishvili refused to sign the Protection of Family Values and Minors Law. But after several days of high drama, Parliament Speaker Shalva Papuashvili has wielded the pen. Zurabishvili is not a fan of Papuashvili's ruling Georgian Dream Party's governance and strongly opposed the legislation. The politically powerful Georgian Orthodox Church backs the party in the socially conservative Eastern European nation. Mirroring similar no-promo-homo legislation in neighboring Russia, the bill outlaws public displays of support for LGBTQ people. Pride events and representation in all forms of media are prohibited, even displaying rainbow flags. The law denies gender-affirming health care and the ability to change legal gender. It rejects civil marriage and adoption rights for same-gender couples. Papuashvili expects international criticism of the law, he says, does not reflect current, temporary, changing ideas and ideologies. His Facebook post says the law is based on common sense, historical experience, and centuries-old Christian, Georgian, and European values. He told RFERL, "We saw the currents of civilization were going in the wrong direction." Several Georgian and international human rights groups have denounced the legislation. They call the country's seeming drift toward Vladimir Putin's Russia an obstacle to its European Union aspirations. However, all politics is local, and the Dream Party's immediate goal is domestic, stoking homo and transphobia ahead of national elections in late October. As Tbilisi Pride activist Anna Tavadze told the Associated Press, Georgian Dream's aim is to fabricate problems ahead of the election to distract people from their failure to solve issues involving unemployment, education, and health care.
Gay Chechen men are reportedly being forced to fight in Vladimir Putin's war on Ukraine. They are threatened with trumped-up criminal charges and forced to enlist if they can't afford to pay what is essentially a huge bribe, according to the Chechen human rights group SKSOS. Chechen's Putin puppet Ramzan Kadyrov often claims that there are no gay people in the predominantly Muslim Russian region. In reality, he has led a well-documented purge of queer people for the past several years under his semi-autonomous rule. The SKSOS noted an increasing wave of detentions of gay men in Chechnya in August of this year. Authorities use gay dating apps to entrap and jail them. They then use those men's social media and dating app accounts to entrap other gay men. The rights group says that at least seven Chechen gays have been forced to fight on the front lines in Ukraine. One of them has already been killed in battle.
The Anglican Church of Southern Africa has rejected a proposal to allow bishops to approve the giving of blessings to couples in same-sex unions, in the words of a provincial synod media statement. Clergy would have been able to decide based on their own consciences whether to bless or conduct marriage ceremonies for lesbian and gay couples. A show of hands vote on October 3rd quashed that proposal. Its proponents charged that the delegates failed to address the reality of sexual diversity in humanity in general. The synod also rejected a set of prayers for same-gender couples already in civil unions or civil partnerships. The South African LGBTQ rights group Inclusive and Affirming Ministries is lamenting the double loss. Their press release calls it a missed opportunity to move toward a more inclusive and compassionate expression of faith that further marginalizes individuals who seek nothing more than to live fully in the light of God's love. The Anglican Church of Southern Africa ministers to millions of the faithful in Eswatini, Lesotho, Namibia, St. Helena, and South Africa.
California's Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill this week to protect state-funded public libraries from book bans. The California Freedom to Read Act was sponsored by Democratic Assemblymember Al Marisochi of Torrance. He pointed to the escalating epidemic of bans on books with so-called woke themes, including those with queer, feminist, or racial content. Such purges usually come up in Republican-controlled states, but California has its conservative pockets. Murat Sochi's press statement proclaimed, "We need to fight this movement to ensure that Californians have access to books that offer diverse perspectives from people of all backgrounds, ideas, and beliefs." The measure takes effect on January 1st and applies only to state-funded public libraries. A similar bill covering public school libraries was signed by Newsom in September 2023. Under the law, the race, nationality, gender identity, sexual orientation, religion, disability, political affiliation, or any other characteristic may not be used to exclude books or other materials in public libraries. Access to such materials cannot be limited solely based on those criteria or the socioeconomic status of the writer or the perceived or intended audience. The state librarian will provide technical assistance to help jurisdictions develop local policies to comply with the legislation.
Finally, families attending an LGBTQ pride event in the southern Ohio town of Grove City were enjoying the food trucks, live music, pumpkin painting, and bracelet making for children. Then, about a dozen armed, masked Nazis showed up. Ohio is an open carry state that allows such firearms displays. The protesters waved swastika flags to demonstrate their displeasure on a nearby sidewalk cordoned off by police to prevent any direct confrontations. They chanted and yelled anti-LGBTQ epithets despite the presence of children. They made no overt threats of violence and left after about a half hour of failed intimidation. Mayor Ike Stage and the Grove City Council issued a joint statement condemning the display of hate. It read, in part, "We are a diverse community and want our citizens to feel welcome and safe. We stand with those affected and reaffirm our commitment to fostering an environment where all individuals can express themselves without fear or harassment." The September 28th festival was deemed the largest ever event in the area, which has a population of about 42,000. Nathan Stover said the Nazis had no impact on the celebration. He told local ABC TV affiliate WSYX, "They can show up all they want, but it's not going to change the energy. Love has a greater energy than hate does."
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending October 5th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry. Stay healthy.
And I'm Marcos Najera. Stay safe.
Jerry Falwell's favorite deacon scampered up the aisle at church, sporting lavender pajamas and a matching purple purse, with a triangle tiara and the cutest little hop. Tinky Winky made him do it. Even God can't make him stop. So now Jerry's on to Tinky with his soft and supple ways. How he captivates the children and recruits them all as gays. How he undermines their virtue, all that's manly, strong, and straight. Tinky Winky's tempting toddlers, and they're going for the bait. Do you think that Tink's the Antichrist, the Winky Viet Cong, with his decadent accessories and tantalizing song? You beat the same old drum, Jerry, you stir the same old pot. Tinky Winky must be banned, Tinky Winky should be shot. Ah, but Tinky's hard to find out on a cold Wyoming night, where two losers cruise the bar scene and they're spoiling for a fight. But they do find Matthew Shepard, and he's small, alone, and gay. It's 2-1, they got a gun, they're taking him away. You know what happens next, Jerry, you know, and you know why. They left him hanging on a fence to bleed and freeze and die. The word is father to the deed you can't undo. No, it wasn't Tinky Winky, Jerry, maybe it was you. For the word may shine like lightning, but the thunder sounds like hate. If they came to get you, Jerry, would you care that they were straight? If you're holed up in the bathroom, would you finally understand why the policeman at the door has got a broomstick in his hand? Tinky Winky may be boring, Tinky Winky may be quaint, Tinky Winky may be holy and be canonized a saint. Tinky Winky may be dumb, Jerry, but when push comes to shove, Tinky Winky will not hate you, no matter who you love. I was scanning your old sermons, and in one of them I read, is it true? Is it loving? Does it need to be said? That's 3 strikes and you're out, Jerry, it's time to scrap the speech. Take a tip from Tinky Winky and practice what you preach. Why don't you practice what you preach?
This is Glenn from Queer Voices. You're listening to KPFT. That means you're already participating just by listening. But how about doing more? KPFT is totally listener-funded, which means it's people like you who are making donations who support this community resource. KPFT has no corporate or government strings-attached funding, which means we're free to program responsibly but without outside influence. Will you participate in KPFT financially? This station needs everyone who listens to chip in a few dollars to keep the station going, because that's the way it works. Even if you're listening over the internet on another continent, you can still contribute. Please become an active member of the listener community by making a tax-deductible contribution. Please take a minute to visit kpft.org and click on the red Donate Now button. Thank you. This has been Queer Voices, heard on KPFT Houston and as a podcast available from several podcasting sources. Check our webpage, queervoices.org, for more information. Queer Voices executive producer is Brian Levinka. Deborah Moncrief Bell is co-producer. Brett Cullum and David Mendoza Druzman are contributors, and Brett is also our webmaster. The News Wrap segment is part of another podcast called This Way Out, which is produced in Los Angeles.
Some of the material in this program has been edited to improve clarity and runtime. This program does not endorse any political views or animal species. Views, opinions, and endorsements are those of the participants and the organizations they represent. In case of death, please discontinue use and discard remaining products.
For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Listening to Honey in the Rock, a choral record from 1949, and you're on the sound beat.
He's the rock of your salvation. There is honey in the rock for you. Oh, honey in the rock,
honey in the rock.
Sweet honey in the rock,
sweet honey in the rock.
Oh, it tastes like honey in the rock.
Frederick A. Graves originally wrote the song in 1895, but his version was a bit, well, heavy. A.P. Carter then rewrote it in 1937 in order to better fit the Carter family's repertoire. In short, he focused more on the honey and the salvation than the blood and the sins. Probably a good move, sales-wise. The Carter family recorded for over 30 years, helping to create and then redefine country music, and were inducted into its Hall of Fame in 1970. This episode was co-written by Syracuse University honor student Jack McCormick, part of the Soundbeat Class Partnership. Learn how students are interacting with historic sound right now at soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Barry.
Hello, my name is Marcus, and I'm the host of a new one-hour program that will air at 7.